Also in space news this week, scientists have announced convincing evidence for the existence of dark energy. Now, this is a mysterious, invisible form of energy that, believe it or not, it makes up 3/4 of our universe. And this dark energy has the property of sort of an anti-gravity, acting to push matter apart rather than pulling it together. And it explains why the universe is accelerating outward rather than collapsing. So what is this strange stuff? How do we know it's there? What is the work that's being announced this week? That's what we're going to ask our next guest. Albert Stebbins is a scientist at the Fermi National Accelerator Lab, the Fermi Lab in Batavia, Illinois, and he joins us. Hi, welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Do we know what this dark energy is?
No, we don't.
But we know that it makes up 3/4 of the universe, right?
We see some effects of it. We have some ideas what it might be, but we have very little information about it.
So where would you look, if you wanted to find it, where would you look for evidence of it?
Well, it turns out the only place you can really see the dark energy, or the effects of the dark energy, is on very, very large scales, where its gravitational effects will dominate other gravitational effects that are from, say, the mass in our galaxy or from the mass in clusters of galaxies. You have to look on much bigger scales than that. So, like, the universe is a good example,
mm-hmm.
and that's like 10 billion light years across. And on scales like that, the gravitational field of the dark energy dominates.
And in research published this week, that's exactly where they looked for it, right?
Well, actually, we were looking on scales more like 100 million light years across.
Mm-hmm.
It was first discovered on the universe scale, 10 billion light years across, but we are looking at concentrations of galaxies that are roughly 100 million light years across.
And you looked at photons, particles of light that pass through these regions, right?
Right.
And if there were no dark energy there, what would you expect to see from these photons?
Well, you see this pattern of light on the sky from the cosmic microwave background. That's the relic radiation from the Big Bang. And what you expect is that since it was generated so long ago and so far away, that the pattern on the sky wouldn't really have any association with the galaxies that are in front of it,
mm-hmm.
that are much closer to us. And but because of the gravitational effects of the dark energy, there is some gravitational effect on the motion or the energy of the photons as they travel through these large clumps of galaxies. And what you find is that when you look at regions of the sky where, say, the galaxy number density is 10% larger than average, you find that these microwaves are roughly 5 microkelvin hotter than average. And that's the effect that we saw.
So they're picking up energy as they go through this dark,
that's right.
dark energy. That would make sense, wouldn't it? You go through the energy, you get a little energy boost.
Well, energy can give and it can take away.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it gives. And the reason you get energy is it's basically a consequence of the fact that the dark energy, its gravitational field is repulsive rather than attractive.
So it's an anti-gravity.
Well, it's gravity. It's a negative gravity, if you like. I don't like using the word anti-gravity. It has too much baggage associated with it.
Go ahead. All right, we'll call it a negative, like negative numbers, a negative grid.
Right.
A negative. That makes you mathematicians feel better.
That's, yeah.
Okay. You mentioned as the light particles are going through, they come in one color and come out another color.
Yeah, they come out slightly bluer. I mean, sort of like if you were riding a bicycle down into a valley.
Right.
And then when you were down in the floor of the valley, somehow the hill got less high.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come out, you don't have to, you get more, you don't have to, it doesn't take as much energy to go back up the hill as it did as you acquired when you went down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that works is because the gravitational repulsive force from the dark energy is causing these concentrations of galaxies and dark matter to expand. And since gravity goes like 1/r², if things get big enough, the gravitational fields go down. So you go in, you gain a bunch of energy going down the hill, then you have to go up the hill, but the hill is less big than it when you went down it.
Mm-hmm. So would another way be looking at it, the energy, the light, let's say, it enters in a reddish part, So its wavelength is long.
Right.
And then when it goes down this hill, it sort of gets squashed together. The wavelength gets shorter, and that makes it a higher energy and a bluer color.
That's right.
Does this solve once and for all the question of whether there is dark energy or not?
Well, I think the evidence is, I mean, the particular worries people had from the previous evidence, I think, don't apply to this.
Mm-hmm.
So it requires some sort of conspiracy for us to have made a mistake and for them to have made a mistake, and gotten the same answer.
So you don't want to, you're being overly modest, or you just don't want to brag about the results of this experiment?
Well, I don't know if I'm being overly modest. Because we don't really have, only a few data points on this. The name could change. Our understanding of how it works might change a lot over the years. We're just beginning to study this.
Mm-hmm. So a scientist will now go out and look for other cases of these big clumps of space?
Right. Well, we've done like 3,000 square degrees, and there's only 40,000 square degrees on the sky. So.
Wow.
So, yeah, you can do a lot more with this, but there's a limit to how much you can do.
If we can't see the energy, where is it coming from? If it's dark, how does it generate itself?
Well, we're only inferring there's energy there from its gravitational field. Why is there this stuff there? Well, I mean, there was one theory of dark energy that's very old, and that's Einstein's cosmological constant.
Mm-hmm.
And he had invented it because he didn't know that the universe was expanding, and he wanted the universe not to expand or contract. He wanted it to stay stationary. So he introduced this type of matter that fit nicely into his theory of gravity that exactly balanced out the self-gravity of the rest of the matter, and the universe wouldn't expand. But there's a more modern incarnation of that that sort of idea in particle physics, and they also call it a cosmological constant, but it's also called the vacuum energy density. It's basically the energy density you get when you take away all the particles. It's sort of the bare minimum energy density you could have.
In other words, a vacuum really has energy in it, or that we the definition of a vacuum that we think of isn't really a vacuum.
Right. I mean, that could be, that is the current thinking. In fact, when people try to calculate what this vacuum energy should be, they get numbers that are just way too big compared to any. You know, the effects of dark energy will wipe out the effects of every type of matter we see if the initial naive calculations are correct. So obviously we don't understand how to calculate the vacuum energy density.
Mm.
And if this stuff we're seeing, this dark energy, is the vacuum energy density, that would really be a very important input to our understanding of particles in the universe.
Mm-hmm. So you think these kinds of discoveries will at least move us a couple of baby steps further?
They definitely will. I know there's even space probes being proposed that are there specifically to study dark energy. There's a lot we can learn yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, how is the dark energy not to be confused with the dark matter that we heard about before?
Okay, well, they're both dark, and so the names really don't tell you anything different about them. The difference really is that the dark matter was invented because, if you like, we didn't have enough gravity. If you look on smaller scales and you look at the mass of the, say, the galaxies or the stars, they really don't add up to the gravitational field, which is the effect that you find. So that you needed to propose this additional dark matter to make up the gravitational field that you saw.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on smaller scales. And, as we looked at larger and larger scales, what we find is just the opposite effect, Now, if we look on scales of 100 million megaparsecs or bigger, actually we need something to damp out the effect of the gravitational field of the dark matter, and that's where this negative gravity or dark energy was introduced.
You almost said it,
I almost said it, yeah.
But you've been a great sport and a great explainer, and this is a fascinating topic, and good luck and congratulations.
All right, thank you.
On your work talking about dark energy and dark matter. Albert Stebbins is a scientist at the Fermilab in Batavia, Illinois. We're going to come back and talk about, this all is so science fiction-y. It's also science fiction-y sounding. We're going to talk about, when we come back, other science fiction, science fact stuff, possibilities like time travel, wormholes. Are these things really possible, like they write about in science fiction magazines and books and movies? Stay with us. We'll talk about it. Don't go away.